You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning, and welcome to our worship today. Let me announce our hymns first. We'll be following Divine Service Setting 4 today, which begins on page 203. Our opening hymn is 427, In the Cross of Christ, I Glory. Hymn of the Day, 783, Take My Life and Let It Be. Distribution hymn, 688, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake. 707, Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways. 729, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Our closing hymn, 922, Go, My Children. It's also the hymn of the month for September. Two deaths to announce. Joanne Ehlers, a longtime member. She's been homebound for a long time. And also Skip Farnham. This is Brian McMeyer's grandfather. So we'll include their families in our prayers today. Let's go to our opening hymn.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the intro.
Strengthen me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the old insert and sing together the gradual. Jesus and Timothy, our brother, the Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, Nauphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective. The full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able, with 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what awaits him there. Great crowds. Lots of people are accompanying him as he's on this journey. He turns to them and tells them this stark truth. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus wants everybody to be his disciple, but it's not easy or cheap. Today, as at the time that Christ spoke these words to this crowd of people, some listen to Jesus and learn, but don't actually do anything. These are passive spectators, you might say. But discipleship demands active participation. Discipleship, it's costly and it's active. Verse 26 is shocking. Jesus called to hate those we love, those whom God has given us to love and honor. Well, this is a Hebrew idiom, so we don't interpret hate here in the way you might think, but we don't dismiss it or take it lightly either. To clarify, consider Jesus' words in chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So we're all called to put Jesus first in everything. Living out the lives of faith that we've been given, clinging to Christ, clinging to his promises, the promises we've received in baptism, faithfully receiving his gifts in the divine service, lifting our voices to him in thanks and praise for all that he has done, all that he does for us, speaking to him boldly in prayer, asking, seeking, knocking in the name of Jesus, knowing that God hears and answers our prayers for our good, and listening to God's word, studying it, meditating on it with a desire to hear from him, to learn from him, to be fed and to be strengthened by him, telling other people about Jesus and what he's done through his suffering, his death, his resurrection, obeying his commandments, repenting of our sins, receiving his grace, his forgiveness, forgiving others as we have been forgiven. We live out our lives of faith in Jesus. No matter what other people think or say or even do to us, we do this with the patience that he gives us, with the kindness that he gives us, bearing all things, enduring all things. Jesus' call to discipleship, it's not just surrendering family, it's surrendering everything. It's a complete commitment. If anyone comes to Jesus and does not hate even his own life, Jesus says, he cannot be Jesus' disciple. As much as Jesus wants us to follow him, and as much as we want to attempt to do so, to live as Christians, he brings us to the point of realizing that we cannot do it. We realize that the demands, the cost, the effort, it's too great. The enemies are too powerful. So we're brought to the point of admitting that we're helpless, that we need God to take over. And God wants us to let him take over through Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. That's forsaking all that we have, giving up on ourself, stuff, other people, to God. The demands of your salvation were placed on Jesus, who gave up all things for you. This doesn't mean that we become passive spectators. He chose you to be his disciples. to take up your cross and to follow him. When we fail, we look to him. We look to him, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Our faith is in him. Our faith is not in ourselves. Jesus shows us the unconditional nature of discipleship. He is the perfect disciple of God, sent to do the will and the work of the Father, completely obedient as a son. He emptied himself of all majesty. He had no place, no home. He put his ministry ahead of his mother and his brothers. He willingly suffered and died, and he left the world behind to follow after his master, the Heavenly Father. We were created to walk with God. It's sin that causes us to love others more than God. Our life in Christ, it rests on Christ's perfect love, his undivided devotion, his sacrifice. Jesus did what we could not do, what we cannot do. When we live our lives of faith in Christ, as disciples of Christ, we give witness to what Jesus has done. He calls you to follow him, to deny yourself, to take up your cross. This is active discipleship. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross cannot be my disciple. Crucifixion in Jesus' day, it was a common punishment for those who rebelled against Rome. So if a person is rebelling against Rome, they knew that if they didn't die in battle, in this rebellion, they would die by crucifixion. So they approached their cause with the belief that they were already dead men, fully committed, no halfway. A call by Jesus to carry the cross was and is a call to live life as if judgment had already been passed, and now each step they took was a step that brought them nearer to the place of execution. When you count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus, you consider everything that is of value to you. Everyone who is valuable to you, your own life, everything. And then you hold it up to Christ. And you consider, is there anything or anyone who comes close to Jesus and the life that you have in him? Do they compare to knowing Jesus? Can you say with St. Paul, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Giving this intentional consideration has great benefits. Like someone preparing to build a tower or preparing to go to war, you're wise to make a careful and an honest assessment about what it will cost. Once you do this, once you acknowledge that it will cost you everything and everyone you know, and you determine that it's worth it, and you're willing to pay this price, then you can fully commit to Jesus. You've already determined that everything else is loss. You bear your cross as if you're already dead. You've already died to yourself, to your selfish and your sinful desires. You've already died to worldly pressures, to everyone and everything. You have nothing to lose. So when someone or something presents a choice between Jesus or anyone else or anything else, you don't have to hesitate. You don't have to deliberate. You've already counted the cost. You know that Jesus is first, always, no question. Will you go to church to hear his word, receive his gifts, sing his praise, commune with his saints?
Of course. You've counted the cost of being his disciple. There's nothing more important. Will you pray? Of course. Will you serve? Yes. Will you cheerfully give to the church, returning a portion of what God has given you? Of course. He's promised that he'll provide for all your needs. Will you willingly follow his commands when other people are pressuring you to break those commands? Well, yeah, you've counted the cost, and you've determined that there's nothing worth sacrificing the life that you have in Christ, even if other people mock you or ridicule you. So every time you're faced with a choice, you can look to the Lord your God and walk in his ways by keeping his commandments, his statutes, his rules, knowing that the Lord will bless you. And there's a lot more to the discipleship than your life. Jesus cares about the people in your life, wants them to be his disciples also. He wants them to learn what he has commanded. So if you give in to the pressure to put someone ahead of Jesus or something ahead of Jesus, well, you lose your witness to that person that God has put in your life. You're like the salt that's lost its taste. That person needs Jesus as much as you do, and Jesus has you in their life as a witness to him and what he's done. You heard Jesus use that illustration of salt, and one of the important uses of salt at that time was as a fertilizer. If you worked the salt into the soil before it lost its helpful elements, well, then it had a long-term benefit for soil and everything that you were dependent on to grow. But if the salt wasn't used in time for that, it lost its benefit, it lost its purpose. Jesus did go to Jerusalem, and he was abandoned by the followers, those many people, even his closest disciples. He died on the cross, and that earned for you life in heaven with him. But your baptism into his death and resurrection, it's by that you are disciples for his good purpose, for the benefit of the people in the world. That means he's made you salt. Salt now. To be a disciple of Christ, to follow him alone, to renounce the ways of the world, it's not to withdraw from the world. You are the salt used by the Holy Spirit to point others to the perfect and all-sufficient saving work of Christ. But living in a hostile world that criticizes and mocks your values takes courage and strength. Those family members who oppose your faith, the world when it sees you make a good start with your Christian walk and then fail again and again, will mock and scorn you. Well, the easy way out is to withdraw, to just remain a passive spectator. But you have to be all in. It is difficult. It takes courage and strength. And Jesus gives us courage and strength. He maintains all of our saltiness as we abide always in the scriptures and in the gathering of the faithful around the word and sacraments. It's only by the very grace of God that we can have the courage and the strength to bear our cross and to follow Jesus. But this he gives. You learn from Jesus by following him, who he is, and that he is the way. You hold fast to him and his word, enduring the hardships, suffering, sacrifice. He sustains you by his word and spirit, his body and blood. He bought you at a great price, and he promises to keep you in his grace. It's in your discipleship. You're denying yourself and bearing your cross, your faith, in the midst of suffering and sacrifice, that others see Christ. So we pray in the collect. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. You have granted us great privilege and mercy, O Lord, that we should be called your people. Work in us by your Spirit that we may love what is good and obey your command cheerfully. Keep us from an easy faith that costs us nothing, and preserve us so that we may be the salt of the earth and light in the darkness of a world that does not know you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless this congregation and all congregations of our synod. Matthew, our synod president, Timothy, our district president, and all servants of the church, that they would be strengthened to cherish each member of Christ's body as dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are our life and length of days, and you set before us your gift of life and your holy word for us and for your children. Preserve your institutions of marriage and family. Guard husbands and wives, parents and children, both from despising and from idolizing one another. Instead, let every relationship in the home exemplify your unconditional love for us in Christ, and grant that all might follow him in their service to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give your aid, O Lord, to all elected and appointed public officials, especially our President, the Congress of these United States, our Governor, the Legislature of this state, and all who serve us in your name in government. Grant peace to the nations and prosper to the benefit of all people, the cause of justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our King, you promise blessing to those who follow in your way. Yet you also call them to carry their crosses. Grant your peace to those who suffer among us, especially Bob, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Jaden, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and the families of Dwayne Dreger, Dan Drinkman, Bernard Nazer, Joanne Ehlers, and Skip Farnham. Guide them by your word to follow your way through the pains of this world to the glories of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, grant that all who come to the Lord's Supper this day may in faith receive your Son's body and blood, and with it the forgiveness of sins, the desire to amend our sinful lives, and the strength to confess the true faith in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Join these our prayers and praises with those of your faithful servants of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, until he comes again in power and glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please be seated as the offering is collected.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.